finished with it, I realized that there's no way that I could give just one shiur. It'd probably have to be two or three shiur at least. So what I decided to do, which is why I gave you an additional, maybe different set of Maror Mekomos, is to speak exclusively today about one topic in Minhagei HaTfilah, and that is the Shinui Havara, the pronunciation of words. Pronunciation of words in Kriya Satoira, in Kriya Shema, and Tfilah, in Chalitza, and so on and so forth. The difference between the pronunciations of Ashkenazim and Sfardim, and within Ashkenazim of Hungarians and Litvisha, and amongst Sfardim, the difference between the Iraqis and the Taimani, and so on and so forth. So in order to do that, in the package that you have originally, the tshuva of Reb Moshe has to do with nusach. And nusach requires a shir b'fnei atzmo, shinuyei nusach. And today we're going to speak only about Havara, but there is the second half of the package that you got originally, which is the tshuva of Rabbi Avadia Yosef, that deals with Havara, and therefore I didn't reprint it and I gave you the second package, because that is in the first package. The second package has makoros from many other poskim, and it starts with really the sugya of Kohanim who duchen and they mispronounce the words of the Gemara Masechas Megillah, and Rashi Neturi Evin, and many, many other poskim who deal with that issue. And then there are tshuvas of Rav Moshe, tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak, tshuvas of Rav Kook, tshuvas of the Sri Deyesh, and tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak. That's in the package. They all concern themselves about whether you are permitted to change your Havara. There are also two other Maror Mekomos that I would like to bring to your attention that are very, very valuable. One of them is Perek Dalid in the Sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa. Sefer Tefillah Kehilchasa, which kind of like mimics or is similar to Shmira Shabbos Kehilchasa, has the text and the footnotes on the bottom. And in this Perek Dalid, he deals with Havara and Nusach and some very important Halacha L'maisa Nekudos, particularly from the Chazon Ish Rabbi Yashiv, and to some extent from others as well. I'll have occasion to quote from that momentarily, actually. And another, there's a set on Minhagei Ashkenaz that came out, which is really fascinating, but from the Binyamin Shlomo Hamburger. And this started out, they started an Ashkenazi shul in Bnei Brak, which was supposed to follow Minhagei Ashkenaz. That's complicated, because Minhagei Ashkenaz is vast and also varied. And of course, when we use the word Ashkenaz, we mean Lafuke Sfardim of Syria and the Morocco and Yemen and so on. So Ashkenaz includes Hasidim and Ashkenazim. And that itself already is a massive chilukim in Minhagei. In the first volume, which is kind of an introductory volume, it's almost like the introduction to the whole set. Right now there are four volumes, probably there'll be more later. But in the first volume, there's an entire section that begins on page 45. Minhagei Sfardim Eitzel Chasidim, where he discusses the minhagim of the Chasidim when they started out in Ad Hayom, of adopting Nusach HaTfilah of Sfardim and what exactly that's all about. But there's nothing in here specifically about pronunciation. I just wanted you to know that this is connected to the Maror Mekomos that you have about Minhagim of Nusach. Okay. Now, we all, I remember that when we were studying Semitic languages, so there were a number of very frum people who were also in these classes, and they were interested in applying what they had learned to the Lamaisa of saying Kriya Shema at least properly. My feeling was, of course, that that's not Minhag Avoseinu, and certainly wasn't the Minhag Avos of that person. But his Shita, the particular person I have in mind who's going to remain nameless, of course, mostly because I didn't agree with him, but you know, not that there's anything wrong with him, but he Ad Hayom insists on his Mahalach of pronouncing it according to what he considers to be the original Miftah that should have been. And the whole shaila is if such a bria even exists. Is it relevant to us that there's some sort of an original niftah, or it's no longer relevant? What's relevant is minhag avoseinu. But when you listen to his kriya shema, it's almost shocking to hear the peculiarities of the kriya shema to the untrained ear. Now, I was in a matzav where I could explain exactly why he says each word or each oz the way he does. And afal pi kein, it was extraordinarily strange to me. How it sounds through Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't know. I can't tell you that. But lemaisa, that was his attempt to say kriya shema correctly. So I just wanted to point out something in that context. In Eretz Yisrael, the vast majority of Israelis, or people who are in Eretz Yisrael today, are pronouncing, when they speak colloquially, in a secular context, they speak Ivrit. Now that Ivrit is something that the Rav commented about many, many times. And he said as follows. He says that the difference between Ashkenaz and Sfard pronunciation, he said, was very fascinating. The Sfardim pronounce the osios more precisely, and the Ashkenazim pronounce the tnuos more precisely. So in other words, whereas the Ashkenazim will pronounce a difference between a komatz and a patach, the Sfardim mostly will glide, you know, make everything a patach. Masha'en came when it comes to pronouncing the osios, the Sfardim distinguish between aleph and ayin, and between a kuf and a chof, and so on and so forth. You know, there's a famous story with Satmar Rav, where he was confronted by a maskil who was telling him that it's a terrible thing that the pronunciation that these Hungarians, you know, when they pronounce things, they don't distinguish between the sound of the sof, which is the last letter of the aleph beis, and the samach, and the sin. There's absolutely no difference between the three. I suspect that the vast majority of us also have no difference between the three. So he says, "Ay, uksilin masai taskilu." It's absolutely brilliant. Whatever your position is, it's mamish incredibly brilliant. In those three words, which is a knack on him, uksilin masai taskilu. You have ksilim the samach, masai the sof, and taskilu the sin. Absolutely brilliant. In any case, I just wanted to read something to you. And this is from Rav Kalman Kahana, and it's brought down in footnote Lamed Vav on page Tzadik Hei, Perek Dalet of Tfilot Yolchasa. He first quotes the Shail Sutruvus Yabi Aimer, mentions that the Minhag Sfardim Kayom Ludaitoi Mutar L'Ashkenazim, that's the Tshuva that you have in the original printing. Ludaitoi Mutar L'Ashkenazim L'Ispalu B'Mifta Sfardi. V'lachain Ashkenazi Shechunach B'Yalduso B'Yeshiva Sfardis. L'daitoi einoi tzorich l'shanos meher gelo. So he writes, "Kvar heir Rav Kalman Kahana shli to becheker ve'iyun chelakei amud shin chaf aleph shebetshuva hanal nasa nisoyon lochiach nechonoso shel hahavora haspardis ha'artzis yirelis hamekubelis baruchov. Abol hi eino hahavora haspardis hamekoris." Bo diyku lahafrid ben komatz lebein patach, va'av shebitu ha-komatz korov ma'od lepatach, komatz koten bitu asfardim av heim kecholam shalohem. Aval ahigui ha-mekubel ba'oritz ha-nikro sfardi, eino mavdu klal ben komatz lepatach, veino mafrid ben ha-itzurim ha-shonim kehagdoroso, quote, eino elo belil milachusi shel havoros, sheyotzru beikar maskilim o mismaskilim ashkenazim sherotzu lifrok o masoros. That's a quotation not from Aaron Kahn, it's from a Kalman Kahana. But what he's saying is that the pronunciation of Hebrew today, as it goes in the Hebrew street, is more a creation of the various Ebraists who moved to Eretz Yisrael, and even from before when they were in Lithuania, rather than any genuine Sfardi pronunciation which pre-existed the modern times and was brought with the Edim from the Edos HaMizrach from the various Makomos, whether it was Iraq or Morocco or Yemen or wherever. So their pronunciation is actually very interesting. What the What the new Hebrew did was, as the Rav said many, many times, was to take all of the chesronos of the Sfaradi pronunciation, which is that they don't have the vowels, and all the chesronos of the Ashkenazi pronunciation, and that they don't distinguish between the letters, and merge them together to make a language which has neither distinctions of vowels or of letters. And if you really think about it, that's exactly what happened. If you hear a Sfaradi pronounce Ivrit, it's very different than Israeli Ba'alma. And of course, the Bitui of the Ashkenazim is completely different. Now, the issue of pronunciation, by the way, is Bitarte or Bitlosa, and it's very important to make that distinction. There's a very important distinction here. I'll tell you what it is. There's an inyan of Mischalfen Alfen Einin, for example, and what I just told you about the Sof, the Sin, and the Sama. There's also an inyan of Milel and Milra. Now, Milel and Milra, no one has a problem identifying Milel and Milra. Mashayin came Sof, Sin, and Samach. There are people who say that the pronunciation of the Samach is S, and the pronunciation of the Sin is also S. And that this is our Masora, that's the pronunciation. And anyone who suggests otherwise, that's their Masora. But there's no one that's going to suggest, I believe, that their Masora is to say Milel Mura or Mura Milel. Hagam, that in the pronunciation of the davening, there's no question about it that what? That many Baalei Tefillah and certainly the Hamon Am completely obliterate the distinction between Milel and Mura when they daven if they come from certain kehilos, and are much less likely to do so if they come from other kehilos. My point is that is not a genuine Masoiris of us. It's simply a laziness or a lack of training or of knowledge. And in the right places, if you will, even if the pronunciation is he elekaini, but they will say it with the proper accent, and of course there are many places where the accent doesn't exist. You know, sort of do your own thing. So that I just want them to make that very clear, that there's a very big difference between laziness and a Masoiris Avos, even if the Masoiris Avos is different. Now, in the Makoiris that you have over here, in the second set, so you have 30 pages, I put 4 pages to a sheet, because otherwise it's very unwieldy. I hope that you have no problem reading it. But the Derech Klal, it seems to me extremely legible, so I did it. So there is a Shir Ashirim Rabbah, very, very famous in the Poskim, which there's a whole shaila, what exactly is the case of the Shir HaShirim Rabbah. But Tosfos quotes this Shir HaShirim Rabbah, and so does the Hagos HaOshri. The Hagos HaOshri is in Masechet Shabbos, and the Tosfos is in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Beis on the Beis towards the bottom. I quote both of them in here. Right after the Chayodim is the Tosfos, and the Hagos HaOshri is a little bit later. Now, Amar Rav Acha, Amo Oretz Shekoyri La'ahava Eva, Kegoin V'yohafta V'yohyavta, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'dilugo Olai Ahava. Of course, the Pasuk says V'diglo Olai Ahava in Perek Beis of Shir HaShirim, but Chazal Darshan V'digloi Olai Ahava V'diguloi V'dilugoi V'liglugoi. So the Chazal Darshan, Amar Rav Yisachar, Tinoi Shekoyri La'moshe Moshe Aaron Aaron. Of course, it makes no sense. So obviously, the pronunciation was different, and the pronunciation or Ephron Ephron Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Liglugoy Alahava. So Moshe was Musa. In Arabic, it's Musa, whatever Moshe is, and Aaron could be Harun or Haran or Ahoran or whatever pronunciation is not correct. Of course, in the orthography, it looks exactly the same. If you look at the Tosfos, right, a little bit below on the same page. Umebedrish Nami. Oh, the Hagos HaOshri is right afterwards. I just didn't underline it. Atosis Masachas Avodazor Chabez on the Beis Medrish Nami Mashma V'Digla Loshen Mi Ilasai. The Ka'ama Minayin L'Koyi B'Toy Shekora La'Aron Haran or Horan. You know, the Aleph is missing. So Tosis's Girsa was that they took out the Aleph. That was his problem. Sheyotzei Pirush Sheafa Pishlo Yikro Aleph. He's still Yotzei Shenema V'Digla Yala'ava. Yotzei what? if you look back at the Medrash, the way we have it from Shir HaShirim Rabbah, it doesn't say that he's Yotzei anything, and in fact it's speaking about a Tinoik. It's mashma that that's how he's reading his Limud HaTorah, but he's not being Yotzei anything in particular. Furthermore, you can't say that it's talking about Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema doesn't have any of these three names.
Moshe has.
What? Yeah. Sorry about that. You caught me. But it doesn't have Aharon and it doesn't have Ephron. And obviously they don't mean that Moshe anyhow. It's crystal clear. And it's not Tinuk Shakara. But you're right. You're right. Okay. So in the Machlokas, or the discussion about what exactly is going on over here, there happens to be a tremendous nafkamina, whether you have the words Yotzi Yedei Chavoso or not. And furthermore, what does it mean that he left out the Aleph? And you'll notice that the Goso Shri is Mila Bimila, Minayim Shim Kor La'aron Horon Shri Yotzi Yedei Chavoso, Shana B'Digloi Ola'ava. And of course, the fact that the Goso Shri doesn't mention Moshe altogether, so it's very interesting. They're not talking about Kriya Shema. Okay. Take a look now, even though it's Shaloik Sidron, if you will, historically, at the Chai Yodam. The Chai Yodam says, yeah, Kol teva sheikriu ksiv alochel moshe misina shetei nechteves kach v'nikris binyan acher v'chei nekudos ha-ta'amim ha-kol hu alochel moshe misina. L'kach tzorech sheyi ha-kori boki b'dikduk ha-ta'amim v'kol shkein b'nekudos. Mikol makoim, he's speaking about Kriyas HaTorah, by the way. Mikol makoim im ta' b'negino yisa b'nikud she'eino yinyin mishtana al yidei zeh, ein machzirin oisai. Then you don't force him to repeat it. Avo, im mishtana inyin k'goy chelev cholov, ya'aseh ye'yoseh, im ve'eim, aroin horon, machzirin oisai. Or mikol makoim im ein ba'oisai mokam ishiya de'a lukris k'din, koyrin u'mvorchun maftirin. In other words, b'di'evet yoyotze. And that's how apparently he understood Yotza. That's how he understood Yotza. That b'di'evet is Yotza. And for that you need lig lugoy or di lugoy alay ahava. But me'yikar adin, everything halachal moshe nisina, you have to be machzirin oisai if he didn't read it correctly, including Aaron Horon. A little bit later, it says venerally, the kol zed davka k'shlo birich adai brocha achroino afilu k'shabirich leinen shetzorach akoyrei likroi oisei posuk od pam. Avok shekvar gomru hakriya lohotzi sefer Torah v'lavzo levorech nirali da ein tzorach. So the Chayodam says that even in those cases we're machzirin also because of shinui, it's a very big halacha l'maisa discussion about this, do you actually have to take out another Sefer Torah if later they discovered or remembered that he made a mistake which is enough to be mishana the meaning of the pasuk? So he tainas nira she'ein machzirin os, she'ein motzin Sefer Torah, even though before the bracha achrona, you're machzirin. Sharei, in the parentheses, atur kosa da'ein tzarech la'azah fila aron horon, v'chein kosa bebach, v'nehid l'chatkila machzirin haynu im ein kan shash brocha, avu la'azah levorech samchinon al atur. So he says that Vibald is a shita that holds that Aaron Horon is ein tzarech la'achzor, even l'chatchila. So memeila, the shitas that paskin, that machzirin, they can't make a new bracha because maybe the halachas like the Torah. So now, this Shir HaShirim Rabbah has, there's a Gemara, Megillah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, on page 6, which is the second sheet. It's 4 pages to each sheet. So if you see it, it's about 2/3 of the way down on page 6. Yes? Amar Avasi, Chayfoni u'Beishoni. It's very interesting. Beishoni is already an elision of Beis Sha'on. So it's Beishoni. Chayfoni is a person from Chayfa, a person from Beishon. Lo Yiso as Kapo. Tanya Nami Hochi. Ein Moridin Lufnei Ateva Loi Anshei Beis Sha'on V'loi Anshei Beis Chayfa V'loi Anshei Tov Unin Mepnei Shekorin La'alfin Einin U'la'ainin Alfin. Amalei Reb Chila Reb Shimon Bar Rebi Ilmolei Ato Levi Posel Ato Min Aduchon Mishum Da Ovi Koloch Ato Amalei La'avua Amalei Zil Eimolei Kshato Magia Eitzo V'chi Kesi La'ashem Loi Nimtseiso Mecharif U'megadif, because he says the ches like a hey and it sounds like he Kesi. So Rashi says, Chayfoni u'beishoni, koyin, shuman shechayf u'man shebeishan, megam gemin b'lishoinen heim, b'pnei shekorin l'alfin ein l'ayin alfin, V'mhayu oisim b'chaskoinim, hayu armim yo'er with an ayin, yo'er Hashem panav, v'loshen klolohu. Ki yesh panim shi'isparshu loshen kas, k'may v'vana yeleichu espanai umetagaminin yas rugzi. U'may ayin oisin alfin u'poigmin tfilosan. U'daminon d'vei Rebbe Lezer korin la'alfin ayinin u'la'ayinin alfin. So ha'hu b'derosha. So the Turei Evan, you'll take a look on page 7, the bottom half. The Turei Evan asks a question on Rashi and answers Lishitoso, what's the pshat in Rashi? Chayfoni beishan lo yisa kabu v'taim v'tei shekorn lo alfin ayin k'de masik apirish Rashi im ho yo oisim b'kaz kainim ayomim yo'ar with an ayin yo'ar shem ponav loshen klolohu mashma. So the Turei Evan, the Shagasari, is medayik in Rashi that Rashi's problem in Birchas Koyanim is only because he converts the bracha into a klola. What if he's not pronouncing it correctly? Forget about bracha and klola. He's just simply not pronouncing it correctly. So, for example, if he would say v'yosim l'cha shalem, so he's not saying the word shalom. So, if the pronunciation of aleph and ayin is incorrect, regardless of what it turns the word into, it should be missing that word, because the word that's not pronounced correctly, it's as if he didn't say it. So just like v'yosim l'cha shalem means something else and it's not the bracha, but v'yosim l'cha shalem isn't the klala. V'yosim l'cha shalem is very nice, but it's not v'yosim l'cha shalem. So therefore, Turi Evan asks, why does it have to be bedafka that it should be a lashon klala as a result? So he says, mashma, the ilav high time shemahapchim abrochel uklola, hayunosin kapeyim. The koshali, the tapekle mishum shepoigmin birchosim, v'armin teva acheres, shalika kosu. Shereyahod the tana in maridin lufnea teva, mfne shakarin laf naim, pirsh rashi poigmin filosim. Vachinami tekvele, the poigmin birchosim. So he asks, Rashi lishitosim mineu bay says that not only should Kohanim not be arid lufnea teva, lufnea duchan, Al Hadukhan, but also Shliach Tzibur should not be Yared Lifnei HaTeva if he mispronounces the words. Shliach Tzibur Lifnei HaTeva is not necessarily going to change the meaning of it into a klola. And in any case, it's not a bracha, it's a tefillah. So the chesaron is simply because they don't pronounce the words properly. So Hanachlon, the Birchas Koyanim, is Lokui because he doesn't pronounce the Birchas Koyanim properly. Why does Rashi have to be Moisiv because he turns the bracha into a klola? So the Yesh Loimar, the Ilav Mishum Da Al Yedei Chiyuv Alfin Ayin Mishapcha Mibrocha Liklola, Lahoyak Peida Mishum Pgam Habrocha, Dol Inyan Tfila Nami Loi Kapitana Ela Loi Ridon Lifnei Ateva. So he says a very big, a beautiful teretz here, which says as follows: in Tfila, there's a Peida that person shouldn't be a Shaliach Tzibur. You have another person to be your Shaliach. Why in the world are you picking a Shaliach who doesn't pronounce the words properly? And particularly since he's motzi you with the tefillah, right? In the time of the Gemara, he's motzi you with the tefillah. So why are you bringing somebody to be motzi with the tefillah when he doesn't pronounce the words correctly? Mashenkin and Birchas Koyanim, he's not being motzi you. The halacha of Birchas Koyanim is not that the Koyan is motzi the others in bracha. Punkt faket lehefa. The Koyan is saying the bracha, and you're the makabel ha-bracha. You're the mushpa of the Koyan's hashpa, or from the Rebbeinu's from the hashpa through the Kohanim, v'ani avorechei. But certainly you're not yotzei anything. You are ponim keneged ponim mul the kohanim to be the mekablei abracha. So therefore, the chesaron, and I might add, a kohen is a kohen, and a kohen, unless he has problems with, particularly yonei kuna or harages hanefesh v'chulu, so he's mechuyev to be ola leduchan, even if he's a hedyot, even if he's an over averos. So when he's there, he's mechuyev to be ola leduchan. So whether he'll pronounce it correctly or not is his problem. It doesn't have anything to do with us. We're not sending him. Says the Shagas Aryeh, if that's the case, kivon de efshar lahirid min hakoyin by shaliach tzibur kohogen. Why should you send a person who's not kohogen? Lama li lahirid min hamachlifim v'koyin. Avo b'fnei atzmai lahoytzi es atzman gufei. He's saying that the birchas koyim, the koyin has a chiyuv to be mavarech. He's being motzi es atzma. He's not being motzi anybody else. He says shapir dami ve'ein tzorich lahader lotzion echad min hakoyin kohogen. There's no such thing. There's no such concept. The You know, the chesaron is not because he doesn't pronounce the birchas koinim, so marash, so he doesn't. What the Shagas Aryeh doesn't tell me is, what about that particular person? Is he making a birchas koinim, or it's just that we don't have to worry about him? It's not our problem, it's his problem. So if he's being mekalalos, it becomes our problem. But if he's not being mekalalos, so then it's his problem. So it's his problem, but you're not yotzei. I mean, in other words, he's not yotzei his birchas koinim. He's not being mevarech es Yisrael. Or no, we say that he's being mevarech es Yisrael as well. So I was thinking that that might itself be totally in where the source of his problem is. In other words, if he's pronouncing the word exactly that way all the time, and that's the way he speaks, so that and that's his lashon, and the raya is that he's a chayfoni and a beishoni. So why do I have to say he's a chayfoni and beishoni? The answer is because otherwise, why is he saying the word that way? Why should a person in a world that's machlif alfin and einin not be machlif? Why should a person be machlif alfin and einin in a community that is madgish the difference between alfin and einin? The Teretz says because he comes from a different community. So in other words, where he comes from, that's the correct pronunciation. So it's very possible that if you are being mevarech es Yisrael b'makom that they are madgish, it doesn't matter because that's your birchas koyanim. So I pronounce things that way. So if that's the case, it's only because of Yoyer is a Lashon Klala. So the Shomeya, so what's the Pshat? The Pshat is like this. If you could ask a question further, if he's coming from a place where they're not Madgish, and that's legitimate because that's how he pronounces things, so then why in the world should it be a problem of Klala? Lishitasa, there's no Klala? The answer is, since the halacha is panim keneged panim, and as the Rav said many, many times, the din of being mekabel, the bracha, is as critical to birchas koinim as to be giving the bracha, then the person who's mekabel has to hear a lashon bracha. So even if he doesn't hear a bracha, he could be mekabel a bracha, but a klola can't be mekabel as a bracha, because he hears a klola. So if you say all of these things, b'vasachas, it makes perfect sense why Rashi should be madgish that Yoyer is a lashon klola, because we're talking about chayfoni u'beishoni. What would be if he was not a chayfoni u'beishoni, but he was simply an amoritz who doesn't know how to pronounce things properly? Then it's very possible that adarabba, even without a klola coming out of it, he's simply not a birchas koinim. So maybe the Shagas Aryeh is right that afal pikein we'd let him go up because he doesn't bother us. But he himself would not be making a birchas koinim because he's not saying the words correctly. But in a community where he comes from, that's how you pronounce things, then he is saying the words correctly. Then it only becomes the chesaron of being mekabel. And being mekabel is only enough kamina if it's a klola. I wanted to point out something to you very, very fascinating. Take the original booklet. Page 8. This is the tshuva of the Yabia Omer. I have to tell you, it's a remarkable tshuva in a number of ways, but it's very fascinating. There is no doubt that Chacham Ovadia has an agenda. There's no question about it. I mean, you know, I think if you would ask him in this particular case, he would say, yes, I do. But it's very interesting. But he does, with the agenda intact, present many, many different points of view. But the nekuda that I wanted to mention to you is the Sefer Chassidim, which he happens to quote. And he says, V'hine b'sefer chassidim, the bottom of page 8. You have it? V'hine b'sefer chassidim simen yudches kosev zel l'shoinim. Ma'ase b'koin echot shoye poiresh kapov, v'oimer b'mokav v'yishmerecha v'yishmedecha. Small difference. V'yishmerecha, he said v'yishmedecha. V'hoya shol chocham echot, v'heviroi. V'heviroi is mashma that during the birchas koinim he schlepped him off the duchen. V'fi she'eni yodeya lach tocha oisiyois, שבבירחס קיינם כהגן. והרו מן השמיים לאוסו חוכם שהם לא יחזירנו יעונש בדובה. So he doesn't allow him, he doesn't bring it back to the duchen. he's going to be Yeyonish B'davim. By the way, just Derech Agav, there's a sefer called Mishnas Chachamim of Reb Moshe Chagiz, which the entire sefer is on the last perek, and not its entirety actually, of Pirkei Avos, which we call Pirkei Avos. It's not really from Pirkei Avos, it's from Kala Rabosi. Shonu Chachamim B'lishon HaMishnah, the sixth perek, and Avos only has five prokim in the Mishnayis, but the sixth perek is added, it's Braisa from Kala Rabosi. And in that Braisa, it only speaks about Limud HaTorah and the Yonim of the Kinyonim Shatar Nikmis Bahem, etc., etc. So it's called Mishnas Chachomim because it begins Shonu Chachomim B'lishon HaMishnah Baruch Shabbat HaBahem B'Mishnas. In there, he has that very famous, there's a section where he speaks about how if your Kavana is Ritzuya and you really mean well, that even if you do something really bad or stupid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only forgives you, but he loves you for it. And he brings a number of examples. One of them, he says that the father of Rashi was Ochet to Rashi because he used to clean the Aron Kodesh with his beard. He says, you're not allowed to clean the Aron Kodesh with your beard. Your beard is very holy, and he brings a whole number of Inyanim and Kabbalah to prove the point. And he says, even the Aron Kodesh, you can't clean the Aron Kodesh with your beard. So why was he Ochet to Rashi? Because he meant well. And then he quotes the very famous story, which in Ladino is called Pan de Dios, the bread of Hashem. You know the famous story that there were two old people who heard a drasha that Kadosh Baruch Hu used to have a tremendous Kores Ruach from the Lechem upon him, and since the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, he lost that Kores Ruach. And they decided they're going to give him the Kores Ruach all over again by baking Lechem upon him and putting him in front of the Aron Kodesh, which they did. And of course, the Shamash used to come and say, oh, this person brought me such nice chalas, and he used to take it home and use it for Shabbos. And this fellow came a little bit later to be Makabel Shabbos, and he sees that the chalas are missing, and he used to come every next week, and he'd say, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you very much for accepting the chalas and for enjoying the chalas as much as you probably do. And this week I hope you enjoy the chalas just as much. Happened to be, and they had a tremendous excitement about baking these chalas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on what they heard in the drosha. Now they're giving back the Kores Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anyhow, one day the Rav must have had a lot of kids or whatever it is. He had to prepare his drosha. It was too much of a noise in the house. So he comes to shul early to prepare the drasha. He's sitting there and there's this nashim over his forehead. And all of a sudden he hears this fellow talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, I hope you enjoy these challahs as much as you enjoy eating the challahs last week. And he jumps out from Achari HaPagan and says, Meshugana Kaifer that you are, Apikairis that you are. He says, what are you talking about? There ain't no guf, lo yasigeyu masigeya guf, and so on and so forth. How could you do such a thing? It's a very famous Ladino story. So this story is in the time of Dariya Kodesh, 100 years before Reb Moshe Chagiz records it, about 100 years later. Reb Moshe Chagiz was in the time of the Shabtai Tzvi, was one of the biggest loichamim against. Maybe he was the one who actually succeeded in stopping Shabtai Tzvi. But in any case, Reb Moshe Chagiz writes that there was a pekida coming from the Ariya Kodesh or whatever to this Rav. So what happened was, he says, what are you doing? He says, what are you talking about? The Ribbono Shel Olam takes the chalas. The Ribbono Shel Olam takes the chalas. The Shamash takes the chalas. Pulls him back, Me'achari HaPagra. They wait a couple of minutes. Sure enough, the Shamash comes, cleans up, takes the chalas, and goes home. So he has a tremendous chalishas hadas, comes home, and he says to his wife, oh, we were such fools. We don't know. And v'chulu, v'chulu. So a messenger comes from Dariya Kodesh to this person, and he says to the Rav, and he says, you should be poiked beischa because you're not long for this world. So he said, Me'pishye Me'chatosi. So he said, the Ribbono Shel Olam had such a kairos ruach from these chalas that the innocent boobs were baking for him, and you took that nachas away from him. So the same thing over here. The Sefer Chassidim says that the person was told, if you don't return him to the duchan, just because he says yishmedecha, if you don't return him to the duchan, you're going to be nanash. So here, Adkan. L'choyre tzarechin, says Chacham Avadya. You have it? It's the last two lines on page 8 in the original booklet. Sharek sha'im b'loshen klola afilu dosh b'yiro lo mahani v'chanal. Then came Shapir avir oysa chokham she'aviroi v'divri chaloymes lo'imalim v'loyma read it. And that's where he is. Divri chaloymes lo'imalim v'loyma read it. Yeah, so I have a ha'ara here where I pointed out to you that I think that there's a tremendous chiluk between these two cases. And I asked a simple question. How does a person make a different chiluk between Yishmerecha and Yishmedecha? I mean, ask yourself that question.
Do you know some Hebrew and know what means to conversion?
No, but it's... correct, but you have to go one step earlier even. Why should anyone make such a chiluk? Aleph and Ayin is very poshut. Aleph, Ayin, Hey, those are letters that are very hard to pronounce differently. Because in the pronunciation, there's a tremendous similarity to the Oseos. And the same thing to make a difference between the old ches before we turned it into a chaf and the original hey, and so on and so forth. So v'chikisi or v'chikesi is obviously easy to make a mistake in the pronunciation itself. But in alfin ayinin, in the pronunciation itself. However, in resh and dalid, there is no similarity in the pronunciation whatsoever. There's not. They come from different parts of the mouth, of sections of the mouth. As everyone knows, datlans is one group, and the resh comes from a different group, and therefore the oisiyos should never be mischalfos in pronunciation in any culture, in any background. So you're not talking about chayfonim and beishonim, you're talking about an amoris. Where did that mistake come from? So I'll tell you very simply. Sfardim, somebody once gave me a matana of a tapestry from Iran. And it's a beautiful batik kind of thing, which has a very nice design in the center. And around it are words. And it happens to be Varech Hashem Yishmerecha. The Vez and the Chof look almost exactly the same. And the Resh and the Dalet look almost exactly the same. And if I would ask a fellow who doesn't know, who's only Ashkenazi, to read V'yishmerecha, for sure he would read V'yishmerecha. Or to put it differently, he would read the Dalit as a Resh. But a Sfardi who doesn't know better, and his Resh and Dalit, you know, there's nothing sticking out on the top. So the only difference between the two is that one is rounded a little bit, that's a Resh, and the other one is square. That's the whole chiluk. So if you're not medactic and you don't look carefully, you don't chat, you could easily read V'yishmerecha, V'yishmedecha. You know, he read V'yishmedecha. That was his mistake. He misunderstood how to say it because he read the word incorrectly. But there's no miftah that pronounces it that way. So I said that V'loidomi klal l'koyrishim b'shabish ches v'hei o alev v'ayim. To'uso shayokori mitoch ba'arusa samilu kilu nikhtav b'dalet. So he didn't know the difference, so he said V'yishmedecha. So I said, such a person, just teach him that V'yishmedecha is the wrong pronunciation of that word, because you didn't read it correctly, and then he's okay. In other words, the person that you moirid is the person who pronounces things in such a way that he'll never get it right. You have to change his whole mentality, his whole capacity. You know, speech is the hardest thing to change. That's why when people come from another culture, they never are able to pronounce, unless you're a genius in music or a genius in sound, you're almost impossible for you to pronounce the words, even if you have a massive vocabulary. Biggest prize is the Rav. The Rav's pronunciation of English was very much like a Yid from Lithuania, and certainly not like an American, by any stretch of the imagination. He just couldn't do it. But his vocabulary was massive and his English grammar was impeccable. Because there's certain things that when you're used to a certain sound, you're just used to it. So a person who's a Baishani and a Chayfani, it's fafal, there's nothing he can do. You won't be able to retrain him because his ayin is always like an aleph. A person whose mistake is a mistake, you tell them that the pronunciation is with a resh, and there he is. So that's why such a person, the Sefer Chassidim says, you can't just be Mavrim Minateva Mashma permanently. You teach him that you're supposed to say a resh over here, and you bring him back to the door. That's, I think, the Pashup Shat, and I think that is correct. And there's no reason to say Divrei Chaloyim is Loi Malin V'Loi Marid. You know, besides which, Chaloyim, it's true Divrei Chaloyim is Loi Malin V'Loi Marid and La Halacha, but this wasn't the Halacha. They were telling him that, you know, he did something wrong to this fellow. This wasn't the... Maybe ultimately it's based on a Shaiwa Laloka, but I think that Laloka is not Nogeya in this particular case.
Did you write the note?
That's my note. But yeah, it's my note because I put out, you know, the sheets, but it's not Chacham Ovadia's note. Right. I don't know how he would answer that, you know, my point. Okay, now. This is Rav Kook. Because we have very limited time. Go to page 9 in the new sheets. In the final analysis, most of the Sfarim that speak about the difference in the different communities and their pronunciation is a shaila that boils down to a simple chakira. Are all pronunciations ultimately correct, at least in within their Eda? Or are all pronunciations possibilities of being correct, but there is one pronunciation that's more correct than others? And the question is, how can you say, well, let me put it this way. What about in Haifa? What did the people of Haifa do about Duchening? In the time of the Gemara, Haifani u'Beishani, the people who mix up Alf and Ayin. So what do they do? So the whole of Haifa did not have a Duchening?
Well, presumably with the Gemara by Haifani u'Beishani is talking about when they're not in Haifa.
Correct.
Exactly. When they're there, everybody pronounces it like that.
That's correct.
That's the appropriate way to do it.
So that's correct. So that's what the Chayru Mashma. That in Haifa itself, it wouldn't be a problem. It's only when a Haifani comes to your town, and your town is makbid to be madgish, the difference between Aleph and Ayin. So implicit in that, of course, is that in Haifa, that pronunciation was acceptable. Nobody suggested leave Haifa immediately, the entire community, or bring in a Malamid to change the Mifta. It's simply that in my community, you can't pronounce it that way because I am Achlif, I am madgish, the difference between Aleph and Ayin.
There should be a difference.
That may be also. So there's a whole discussion about that too. Some say that if you can daven in a Lashon that's not Lashon Kodesh altogether, so ma rash that this isn't Lashon Kodesh, let it be no less than English. So you're davening in English. So then it depends on things that are Nemar and Bechal Lashon, or things that Yadavka require Lashon Kodesh, like Kisiyas Kapayim and so on. So this is the problem. The Gemara speaks about Kriya Shema, which is Nemar and Bechal Lashon. And the Gemara speaks about Kriya Shema that you have to have certain Kpedas and Dikdukim. So if it's Taka, another language, then Mechatesa. So what will they answer? They'll answer exactly the point that you just made a moment ago. If it's in a community where everybody pronounces quote-unquote correctly, and is madgish the difference between Aleph and Ayin and on and on and on, and you don't, so then basically what you're doing is not saying another, it's not another language. Your language is this, and you are speaking Lashon Kodesh, and you're saying it wrong. Masha'ein Kain, if you come from another Eda, and in that Eda everybody pronounces it that way, so then you are permitted to pronounce it that way, even though it's not the correct way of saying Lashon Kodesh, because the whole community switched to English. So when the Gemara says that you should be makbid, it means in a community where that lashon was still medayek in those chilukim. So eino chanami, just like there's an inyan to be makbid in alf and ayin in benagei abirkas kayanim, so too there'll be an inyan to be makbid in kriya shema. But a chayfani and a beishani will be able to lay in kriya shema, as in fact the vast majority of us do. Tell you a little anecdote for a moment about my pugisha with Rav Shlomo Zalman about Zichrono Livracha about this very question, and they would be fine. Why would they be fine? Because in their community, they're talking not Madrish Aleph and Ayin, and we are not Madrish Aleph and Ayin either. After all of that, Semitic languages, which included a lot of languages that you never even heard of, but the question was so. I'm not going to do what this fellow does. It doesn't sound right, and I never heard anybody do that. But in our Masora, for completely different reasons, by the way, in the Litvish Masora, there's a pronunciation of Ayin that has nothing to do with the Diktuk of Oisiyas whatsoever. I once had a long discussion with a philologist about it, and Lamaisa, whatever the makar of it is, the Litvish Russian pronunciation of Ayin is sometimes a Nun. Like, how do you say the colloquial Yaakov? Yankel. Where does Yankel come from? Right? I found a published Chumash published in America by a Hebrew publishing company or something, I don't know, where they have the transliteration of the names of the Parshios. Besides the English translation, they also have a transliteration of the names of the Parshios. So apparently if the Rav would say, it's in Parshas Vayikra, so they write V-A-Y-I-K-R-A. Right? Besides Leviticus, so they write by Yikra, V-A-Y-I-K-R-A. When it comes to Bahaloscha, I was shocked out of my wits. This is how they wrote it. B-E-H-A-N-G-E-L-O-T-E-C-H-A. Bahangeloscha. Because the guy must have heard somebody pronounce it that way, and that's how he wrote it. But the nun is included in the ayin pronunciation. Now, that means that they don't say that with an aleph. You understand what I'm saying? They only say it when there's an ayin. Whatever the reason is, has more to do with Russian than it has to do with being didactic Boisius. But be that as it may, there is something in our Masorah that differentiates between the ayin and the aleph. So I was wondering if I tried to do it correctly, quote-unquote, and of course you have this problem that you have in all Semitic languages, Mehecha Teisa, that the other pronunciation is correct, maybe they're influenced by the Arabs as much as we were influenced by the Russians, etc. So, you know, or by the Germans, or whatever. So Mehecha Teisa, that pronunciation is necessarily more accurate, even though it sounds different. Who says it's more correct? But be that as it may, let's assume that we know that the ayin is pronounced a certain way. You know very well that in the time of the Greeks and Romans, the ayin was very much translated as a G. That's why Aza is Gaza and on and on. Why is it Gaza? Gaza Strip. It's not the Gaza Strip, it's the Aza Strip. But they pronounced the ayin so close that in the non-trained ears of the Greeks and the Romans, it sounded like a G. And that's how it remained. In the same way, like the hay by the Russians turned into a G, so that the Chofetz Chaim's family name is Kagan and not Kohen, and Hebrew is Gevrei, and Hitler, Yimach Shmo, is Gitler. You speak to the Russian, you say Gitler, Yimach Shmo. So the G pronunciation is not a Jewish thing, but in the community that we were in, it turned into something. So the Gimel of Gaza, and the same thing is true of the Bahangaloscha of the Ayin. But since there was such a difference, so I came to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach with a whole bunch of questions. And one of my questions was, I have a cheshek to pronounce the ayin differently, and I also have a cheshek to pronounce the ches differently. So he told me to pronounce the ayin differently I could, and to pronounce the ches differently I can't. I shouldn't.
I should say
ches instead of or whatever. So, height. Right. And then, of course, there are a lot of others, the kuf and the chaf and the tof and the sof and the dalit. It says that you're supposed to be madgish the dalit of echad. How you madgish the dalit of echad? So a lot of people pronounce it echad. That's certainly not correct. Because there's no shva under the dalit. It's not echad. It's echad. So in the pronunciation of certain eidos, the dalit that's without a dogish is a the. So it's a chazd, which you can do very well. You can be magic to the dalit and keep it going for a while. But the hard dalit is impossible to keep going. You can't say a chazd. You can't. So you have to say duh. So that's, of course, and you'll listen to a lot of people who pronounce Shema Yisrael, and you'll hear the duh very, very loud and clear. But it's a mistake, l'chayra. In any case, the proof of that halacha is that they pronounce that dalit differently. It's crystal clear. So the question was, any of Shlomo Zalman, whatever his reasons were, he said that I could be Madrish Ayin, and that's why I do. And a lot of times I try to avoid davening Betzibur because they're busy listening to my ayins and they don't pay any attention to the davening, which of course is one of the chesronis of the Shliach Tzibur going and making Shinuyim also. In the Shair Ephraim of the Ephraim Zalman Margolios, he points out that a Balkari should be very didactic in the ICIs, but he should make it very clear that you should not be so didactic that people think that you're strange. So that kriyashma that I was talking about at the beginning of this year, that's super strange. I mean, you know, it's something that you can't possibly pay attention to. But listen to what Rav Kook says. Page 9. Two-thirds of the way down, the paragraph that begins, Nirim Hadvarim. Nirim Hadvarim, the b'di'evet, ein shinuyei ha-miftoyim ma'akvim. Ein shinuyei ha-miftoyim b'di'evet, ein shinuyei ha-miftoyim ma'akvim. L'didon d'kaimel and krav yosiv ma'asech l'sbrochas ha-ptesov, d'kor v'l'diktek b'yosiv yosel yotza, l'kriyashma. You hear what he says? He says, first of all, let's make the point clear that bitui makes a difference. Now the question is, who's bitui? So he says, you're not allowed to change from one bitui to another if you are ready from an Eda or been brought up in a certain bitui. So the question remains, what is a call? Because what makes a call in that context? So the Igros Moshe on page 15, you have an Igros Moshe from Chelek Gimel Siman Hei, which is very important in this inyan. And of course, he is biased. I'm using that in a positive sense, but he's biased towards Havara Ashkenazis as much, if not more, than Rabbi Avadya Yosef is biased towards Havara Sfardis. And he writes like this: Hinei b'dvar shinui Havaris, page 15, in the new group. B'dvar shinui Havaris ben anshei Ashkenaz ben anshei Sfard v'adei ein l'shanes ma'avor shal avreisenu shohayu koyrin b'havara zu alfei shonim loy mibayim neimashu gam machloikus l'dina eich likrois shavadei ein lono l'shanes. The way he writes sometimes, you have to explain it. But he says, Einoi Emes means that the Havara Asfardis Libnei Ashkenaz is not Emes. That's what he's saying. That Einoi Emes, it's not right what the Sfardim do, according to the Ashkenazi pronunciation. Ubefrachib, Nei Ashkenaz, Hoyu Harov, Bechol Adoros. Elaafim, Nei Mek, Demistabish, Sheleka, Pelukta, Ledina. Ushneim, Oyuk, Sherem, Ledina. This raya, by the way, from Chalitza is brought down back and forth and back and forth from many different poskim, whether it is a raya or it isn't a raya. And if you go through the makoros that you have in front of you on your own, you'll see it crop up every single time. Is there a raya from Chalitza or not? Some say that Chalitza is very different and give explanations why by Chalitza it's a different issue. And the Rav Moshe happens to be of the opinion that Chalitza is a raya, that the pronunciations doesn't matter to whatever Eda is pronouncing it, because otherwise you'll have a problem that you won't be able to do a Chalitza altogether, so that the Sfardim won't have a Chalitza Kshera according to the Ashkenazim, and the Ashkenazim won't have a Chalitza Kshera according to the Sfardim, which no one ever said. But if the pronunciation is not correct, then if there's a diuk on layova, there has to be the neshima achas, so alpha achas kam b'vakam, if you don't pronounce the letters correctly altogether. And since his taina is that each eda is different, the other edas is not his pronunciation, so then how do you legitimize that pronunciation? So he says, you see that all the havaros are ksherim ledin. And then he continues at the very end of the tshuva, b'cheinu inyan havaros, five lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line that begins the rav, b'cheinu inyan havaros, shugam kimachloikes, eichi havara hamitis, sha'osu l'shanois, im loy sha'olach l'mokam ha'acher, adaita shelo l'achzor, b'chein borur, shebimikomoseinu, shemispalim b'avor ashkenazis, b'chein oimim b'chol abrochus v'korim b'toira, osu l'shanois l'avor spardis, so Rav Moshe's psak is that wherever you are, you're not allowed to change to the other havara. What happens if you're davening as a shaliach tzibur for an edah that davens a different havara? So in the Tefillah Kilchosa Yud Ches on page Tzadi Dalit, Seif Yud Ches of Peret Dalit, Shat Hamispalu Bahavora Misuyemes, Motzi Yidei Chova Es Hamispalu Bahavora Acheres, Utfilosam Tefillah B'tzibur. Avol Ein Lishmoa Chazores Hashatz Min Hamishanes Havaroso Toch Kidei Tefillah. So he brings here a quotation from, or a mokor from Rav Henkin It's Eidus L'Yisrael. And based on the Siddur Beis Menucha, Shemaisim b'chol yom sh'ashkenazi ha'nimtza b'beis ha'knesset shal svardim olu l'torah b'vorech v'korei his way v'chein lehefech. And Chelek HaLevi Tshuva says the same thing, and he brings down what you just said, Rebbe Ezra, earlier, she al pi ha'gemara seita d'aflamet beis ha'mad aleph, she b'kis ha'mazon tefillin namaz b'choloshen v'avara shoyna lo'y gora miloshen acheres she'ein mevinen oysa klal. V'omnam ha'mispalol kishatz b'fnei ha'tzibur ha'mispalolim b'mifta shoyna einoy nechshav k'mishana mimin hogam. There's another problem. Forget about the question of whether you're motzi or you're not motzi. What about losis godudu? Which brings us into the issue of nusach and then so on and so forth, which I'm not discussing today. So he says that's not a problem either. If it's acceptable, then it's not a problem of losis godudu. And then Now, you know very well that there was a big discussion about bitu shem Hashem, even if you pronounce things in a Sephardi way. And this is based on a Rabbeinu Bechaya, which is quoted in the Tshuva of Chacham Ovadia and in a number of the Tshuvas that you have here in the new set as well. You take a look in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi. Should have given you a table of contents over here.
Page 8.
No wonder I don't have it. Where's page 8? Yeah. Here it is. Al Eilu Shabrochlem Amifta Sfardi Dafka V'Gam Kishoivim Lifnei Ateva V'Gam Baskoras Hashem Anichbat V'Anoira B'Shem Aleph Dalid Mevatin Es Os Nun B'Patach B'Mokon Komatz V'Choshish Katash Lo Yia Nira Kishtei Rishuyos. Because Adonai, my masters, as opposed to using it a komatz, which is a reference to Hashem. So the distinction between a komatz and a patach is made deliberately to differentiate between the two. But if the patach is pronounced all the time, even the komatz is pronounced as a patach, so you never see the difference between the two. So hinei matzina plukta t'noyim b'shvuos al ha-posek shom avram adonayim no matzosichenu avno avdecho tanakam siyud l'shem zehu choyl chanina ben achi yushu b'oze ben azai siyud l'hu koydesh b'hu d'laman d'yomad l'hu choyl. Malachim diber ulukulam diber, in the plural. So how come it's in the plural? Because there were several malachim, right? So that's why it's nai. Because Rashi shom b'karam kulam adoinim. B'yosim b'vur b'rambad b'im sitzur chacham. V'ein chiluk ben komatz l'patoch ki kulam loshin rabbi mein. V'chein muchu d'gam komatz loshin rabbi. V'ein hevdol min komatz l'patoch. V'al kol tzorch loyma. V'ein mazach shum shash. K'mo shem alikim shuloshin rabbi. K'einu shem alav dalet. V'chein ulumat be'ya aloshin shuloshin rabbi. In other words, the person pronouncing it with the komatz, it's not pshat that the komatz is not a Lashon Rabbah. That's what he's arguing. The komatz is also a Lashon Rabbah. But the komatz, Lashon Rabbah, is not a problem referring to Hashem. Why not? The answer is because how come you say Elohim with a Yud Mem? So in the same way, anything that has to do with Adon, you could say Adonim and refer to Hashem. And my Adonim could be with the komatz as well, as a patach. So he said, so what's the pshat? It's not pshat that with the komatz it's singular. The komatz is also plural. But when you say it with the komatz, when normally you would say it with a patach, it's an indication that you are making a reference to Hashem. So he says, etzem o'inyu v'adei shein ruch hachom noich melu shabachu la'achliv ha'mivto shekibalnu me'abuseinu ha'kadoshim anshe Hashem asher me'olam. He says, I don't think he says it's a problem, says the Har Tzvi, of a chashash of Shnei Rishuyos. Because even if you pronounce it with a komatz, it's really Shnei Rishuyos' concept. But it's not Shnei Rishuyos, it's a reference to Hashem in the plural. So saying it with a patach is no different. What's fascinating is The kasha of Shnei Rishiyos wasn't because it's singular or plural. The kasha was because there's a unique way of referring to Hashem. The minute that you don't, it's Mechzek Shnei Rishiyos. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, when you say, I would almost go further, it's not really an issue of Mechzek Shnei Rishiyos. It's an issue of secularizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, of just referring to him as an Adon Ba'alma. But in any case, he said it's not a that's not the problem. So what is the problem? The problem is pronouncing things like a Sephardi. That's the problem, if you're not. He says, She'ein ruach hachom enochem e'elu shebochu la'achlif ha'mifto shekibalim ha'voseinu ha'kadoshim anshe Hashem ha'shem ha'yolam. Va'filu l'gabe ha'sephardim atzmo k'vo kosev ha'beinu b'chai b'zeh ha'loshem. Va'af al pi she'nire she'akomet v'apatach ha'koil echod etnu achas ein adov ha'kein. Elu she'yesh hefresh b'neihem b'mifto om. V'pnei zeh nichtav ba'al dalet shu kodesh b'komatz u'kshukol b'patach. Mashikosu b'loit, he has a problem with this at the very end. He says Mashikosu b'loit is b'komatz v'hucho is ad kan dvorav ha'tzorech li'inyonenu. Hinei hu ayo migdole ha'sfardim im kol zeh hikbid mi'od shu'ol ha'achlif ha'mifto ben komatz l'patach. V'chein ha'teimonim nisorim ma'od v'shem alav dalet she'mevatim al-sotomit b'komatz v'lo b'patach. In the question of what was the opinion of the Chazon Ish, there's a huge discussion, and Chacham Avadya weighs in on this topic as well in the tshuva that you have in the original group. I just want to point out to you that he writes here, V'yodua, after mentioning the Hartzvi that we just read, he writes, V'yodua shekein horem ora Chazon Ish tzatzal l'shnei rabbonim mechanchim moistes lebonois in rechosim and rechovos. Shakoponim yakpidu bibitu shem Hashem ba'avor Ashkenazis. Right. Omnam ayim mishnas yaikib shaladaita dibra benachai la tafka l'shem Hashem v'ein lumod mehem linyanenu, etc., etc. Anyhow, that's what the issue of the Sephardi pronunciation that we have today in Eretz Yisrael. Because the truth of the matter is there isn't a singular Sephardi pronunciation. Each Eda has its own unique pronunciation. And if you go from Eda to Eda, which means from block to block in on Ocean Parkway, for example, I'm serious, and you go from one kehillah to the next, and you go through a Persian community, and a Taimani community, and a Syrian community, radically different. And I'm talking about pronunciation, not the nusach. We're not talking about nusach ha-tfila right now. We're talking about the pronunciation. And therefore, what we have today is really a brand new havara. It's very important to realize that. You say, do you speak Sephardit like they do in Israel? The Sephardit of Israel is modern Sephardit. It has nothing to do with the Eidos HaMizrach, except that it sounds more like the Eidos HaMizrach than Ashkenazis does. And therefore, it seems like it's Sephardit. But really, it's, as I said at the very beginning, a blend which was intended, if we want to be positive about it, to kind of make everybody happy, or to kind of like make the lowest common denominator orientation so that everybody should be shayach to the parsha. Considering that the place was more Sephardi than not when they came, so I guess they stuck with that as the foundation, and then they added. Chacham Ovadia in his tshuva makes a very strong point. He says like this, he says, you want to be Makariv Yidin. He's talking about somebody who wants to go into Kiruv, and the shayla is, he goes into a community of Israelis, and he wants to stick to his Avara of Ashkenazis and pronounce the words and say the tefillah and read the Torah like the Ashkenazim do. He says, Hagoba Atzmacha, you're going to be Makariv and you sound strange and nobody understands what you're talking about. How could you be Makariv like that? But that, you know, that was his, that's what he writes in the Tshuva. In the Svidei Eish, also Beis Hei, which you have in the Tshuva here, but I'm not going to read it to you, I'll just mention what he says. He writes at Beis HaKnesses that they were noy b'avor Ashkenazis, they shouldn't change to Sephardi. And if a person, however, joins a place where the Havara is different from his, and he joins that Kehillah Mikol V'chol, he can convert to that Havara, just like he converted to that Nusach. But Moshe Feinstein has a shita, by the way, that after the Churban, or in general, keep the way Golios work, a particular community may no longer have its Havara, because it's an amalgamation of the people that join, which is from all over the place. So, you know, there it's much, much more flexible, because you can't say you should not be Nishana Min HaMokom, which is, of course, the foundation in terms of Nusach and probably Havara as well, of the famous Lashon HaYerushalmi, which is brought down by the Magen Avraham, that even though the correct way is so and so, but Atem Al Tishanu Miminag Avoseichem. And the question whether it's talking about tefillah or something else, also discussion, but the Magen Avraham quotes it as Al Tishanu in the tefillahs. How much time do we have left? Depends on what I have to do.
2:40 we
finish. Oh, fine. Very good. Now, if you'll please turn to the to page 12. This is a continuation of the Tshuva Sarach Mishpat of Rav Kook, Zechayinu Livracha, L'chayol Mabo. The last two lines on page 12. You have it? Mikol Ma Shekosavnu. Mevuah she'ein shum makom lahatir l'shanois mimivta l'mivta. Mishum d'chol shinui nechshav l'gabei eile shechziku b'mivta acher mechlal kora v'lo dikdek v'osi oseha. And in the Ha'ara on page 13, he writes, Heir al-Zer Avrev Tuvya Yehuda Tavyuma, or Tavyumi, the Sifrei Eretz Toiva, Shloihuva Kan Mitshuvas Marit Le'inyan Chalitza. Remember the discussion is whether Chalitza is relevant or not to our discussion. So Rav Moshe says, you see a raya from Chalitza, you can't say that the Chalitza of the Sfardim is not good according to the Ashkenazim, that each Mifta is legitimate in its own context. So if you do something in Chalitza that pronounces it the way the Sfardim do and you're a Sfardi, then that Chalitza will be acceptable to an Ashkenazi who wants to marry this woman and so on and so forth. So he writes, Heir al-Zer Rav Tuvya Yehuda v'chulu sh'lohuva kai b'tshuvas ma'arit l'inya chalitza k'sheina yokol levati osi eskaroi for yosem in adorim al-lishonos goyim v'shubashim afogab sh'tzok levati b'sfasayim. Okay, Bahem is Libra Maritli in Kriyas Chalitza Brayosim in the Dorm Vada Eina Inyan Lakan Bekriyash Mount Fila. Share, Bachalitza Bachem bin the Dorm Kol Inyan Hadibur Hazehu Odoas Daito Urit Sinai. Shahim is Bareshes Hate Gam Imeno Medukta Kolkach. The Gam Im Nigzera Shovet the Parshas Halavi and Lurabon and Oimelosh Kocha. Rabbi Yehuda, Tzricha Kriyas Chalitza, Loshen HaKodesh, Loshen HaKodesh, I mean, that's, I don't know why it's repeated twice, Hu kach shoy da osa al miyun yuvama voy da osa yba atzma yishaloy chofetz lakachta, yu beloshen ze. Mashenken bekriya shma shechiyuva u likra isim advarim aksuvim batayra, v'yesh ba chiyuva adiktuk b'yoysis. He says, even if you learn from Kocha, from Xereshova, from Levian, that you have to use Loshen HaKodesh, but it means you have to use Loshen HaKodesh to make your point. But there's no nusach that you have to say that it's a kriya of that nusach. The Torah's kriya, kriya saparsha, kriya satayra. Masha'enkein in kriya shema, which is a kriya, shechiyuva ilikra oisem medvar maksuvim batayra, v'yesh b'chiyuv adiktik v'yoysiyos, v'kivin she'en einan medudokes l'chalechot b'mifto acher, m'chuseris yakriya b'chiyuva mitzad atzma. It's not a matter of making it clear what you have in mind. It could be that another person listening to you from a different eda will understand perfectly, since he knows how you pronounce things, he will understand perfectly. But if for you, that pronunciation is not the right pronunciation. So he says, "B'mifta aftem chuserisi akriya b'chiyuvim mitzad atzmo." That's how you show him. Shuv b'nisak alochem shulchanoch shu adin gam b'tfilu shad divrei kedusha. The loy kedas agoinim v'arambam gam b'tfilu kein v'chol chiyuvim amira shel dvarim kvuim. He says that, you know, in Gittin also it's like that. Everyone understands that if you write V'dain with Yud, without a Yud, it makes no difference. Everyone understands exactly what you want to say. But there's a halach of how to write it is a very precise halach. So he says the same thing as the pronunciation in the reading of the psukim in Kriya Shema. So even though the purpose or the meaning of it remains the same, it's not enough. Mashenkin, he says, by Chalitza, it is good enough. So that's what he says, there it has to make a difference in that you're not comprehensible. Because even though you have to use Lashon Kodesh, but the point is to make the point of whether you do want it or you don't want it. Loy ova yadli. That's one point I wanted to make to you.
Wait, so who's that?
This is Rav Kook. Yeah. And another thing that I wanted to make a point to you is on page 14, the next page. It starts with Obi Yichud, the fourth line, three lines from the end, on page 14. Obi Yichud Misha Mishana Meha Mifto Hatemoni, Ha Muksak Etzla Midoris Arishainim, Shahu Ha Meduyok Shebe Miftoyim Kimbefursam. Rav Kook goes on record to say that the pronunciation that is most accurate is the pronunciation of the Taimonim. Shebevaday also lasis kain to be mishana if you have that mifta. Well, if he divrei achinuch odas achinuch yeshloimed afilu b'diyevet einom yotzim yideichova mipnei shenechshav keilu machsirim otzios legamri. He says it sounds nice. He's saying here the same thing that the Rav said in his own way. He says the maila of a proper nusach is that you have the accurate and precise scalpel to differentiate between osios and havaros. And the more you elide or blend them together and make of them one, the language may sound very poetic, but it makes no difference. It's a chasaron and a mum and a pagam in the havara. He says, ubozeh ha-mifto asfardi einoi magia gamla mifto ashkenazi. So he says like this, the teimoni is the best, and the sfardi, which sfardi is he talking about? He means the Israeli sfardi. It's not even as good as the Ashkenazi because they don't pronounce the letters, the consonants, even though they have, because they don't pronounce the vowels, even though they have difference in the consonants. So the Sfardim of Iraq and whatever. But what did the Sfardi do in the Israeli Sfardi? He pronounces neither the consonants. Because by him, for example, the tough is the tough is the suf and the tough is the same. And there's no chiluk between the kuf and the chaf and so on and so forth. So they blended together all of the consonants the way the Ashkenazim do. And they blended together all of the vowels the way the Sfardim do. So in the end, they have the most minimized, loshon, with a lot of extra osios which could be eliminated, and maybe one day they will. But lemaisa in the pronunciation that Rav Kook is talking about when he speaks about Sfardi, he means that Sfardi as opposed to the Taimoni, which is the best. So Sfardi, the way you use it, makes a tremendous difference. He says, Imamish says this word, that by the Taimonim, Sai the Oisi and Sai the Tznuois, the vowels, are differentiated one from the other. And of course, things with the dogesh and without a dogesh, and so on and so forth. Chalila, lemishu uchzad bo, very, very strong. Lazev oisei lachlifa bimifta akher pochus meduyak mimenu, b'chol dvarim shebikdusha, at least. Chutz mimashe eina kabola shalom miftoim grua, b'kol kabola shalom yoni hora, sh'kol echad meidus mechuyev hu l'kayim altito shtore simecha, sh'kmoish adobe nohu v'oimid bin yoni yisub ehete, v'in yoni chaya mishpocha, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, V'cholilo lifritz b'zeh protzois, ki kabolos ovois, hi ki yuma shol toresenu akadoisho, u'shalo dicho b'yageit choksiv, right? And you see that kol nilu rabbonan me'akor yalfinu levorach aleim b'tzivonu, from shalo dicho b'yageit cho. So you see that it's taken very seriously. Akeinu nini b'zeh, mechazek yedayoy se mitzvah, v'shtadol b'chol ma'amotzei koyach, u'divrei chachomim menachas nishmoyim, sheloi lishanes es ha'mifta mekubo b'chol mokon. It's interesting, Rav Kook and Rav Moshe in many, many places say you fight for a position as long as you don't have to fight. But if you have to have a machloikas, forget about it. It's not kedai. It's not necessarily the prevalent perception, but that's the way they feel. He's very strong about the teimonim. I wonder what he would say about taking teimonim and making goyim out of them. V'mnovei lodim b'inyonei hamusar hapnimi mashikosfu chachmei emes b'kdusha satnuois v'kdukdukei yoisiois v'hamoitzois yarechu advarim miyoid. V'koil oilu l'mokam echad shukhalilu l'shlichim b'kodesh l'shanis m'mifta meduyok m'kubo m'oz l'mifta to some other v'ein l'meidim b'zimah shachayir mosu keim shalob b'tzon chachomim. V'Hashem yizbarach yafu b'socha b'ru mehir l'chol ha'amim. Very beautiful use, play on words, as it were. Yeah. Yeah, that's Rav Kook's position. In the tshuva of the Sri Dayesh, which is a very beautiful tshuva, he always goes through everything with great deal of. He brings the Gemara of Baishani and he quotes Tosas of the Bri Chadosh and the Shitas Rambam. It starts with page 17 and continues on. And he quotes Rav Kook in Osei on the bottom of page 20. You see it? You have it? Yeah. Shalz Truva's Eretz Toiva, he brings Rav Kook, not from Rav Kook's Truva, but from Rav Tavyumi's Truva. This sefer that I mentioned in the Ha'ara there, Shalz Truva's Eretz Toiva. That's Rav Yom Tov Tavyumi. Shemisha Shina Savora Ashkenazim, Lafor Svardis, says Rav Kook, Nechshav Etzlenu Ashkenazim, Kemoshekora, Velo Dikdik Bos Yosel, Ulfidas Achinuch. Just to summarize what we've said before, Parshas Vaschanan. Pardon?
The Orach Mishpat is only published in the 70s.
Yeah.
So that's why
it doesn't happen. Yeah. It's a good horror. He didn't have it. It's not like he doesn't want to quote from it. He just didn't have it. But he did have B'Shem Rav Kook, because they had already a discussion of it, and there was a... So the Eshel Avram, the B'Chutcher, brings down this Chinuch also, Parshas Vaschanan. Shlo diktek ba'sehanu shlo nitan nosan revach ben advekim, shlo hitis hazayin shel tizkeru, which we by the way do, or shlo herich bedalit shel echad, which we don't know how to do, v'chadoyme. Avoloi b'mishachisa teva oy shlo yotza. So he says the chinuch says that all these extras that are pluses, but yotza b'di'evet is only in the things that are mentioned in the Gemara, but the things that are left out of nos and ganzen completely, that certainly you're not yotza. Devei milchus gittin she'im os achas l'nitan l'kriya. Latinoik, loichakim, loitapish, oisu, command the lesser. Loivanti is adimion, luxivus aget. The Sri Deish says, I don't understand the comparison. Hosim im oisein anikra, avishapa, kilu loinechtav. Masha'en came, so notice, if you have to write a get a certain way and the person can't read the ois, that means the ois is not there. So the reading is only a measure of whether the ois is there or the ois is not there, because every ois has a certain pronunciation, and if he can't read it, so he doesn't have the ability to see it, so it's not there. Because he did pronounce the ice, and he pronounced it a certain way. Now the truth of the matter is, this itself is the issue. If you're not a Sfardi, the Inyan is Mishtana. In other words, there are certain pronunciations, not all of them, but there will be certain pronunciations where there's a nafkamina, and maybe the nafkamina is whether he says kamatz or patach, just right there, by Shem Hashem. There's no one who says a patach by Shem Hashem who's Ashkenazi. Never. So if he hears it with a patach, then for him, that is not the pronunciation of Shem Hashem. So he's missing the Shem Hashem. You know, so it depends what it is. He writes, "Varei b'avoras svardes b'vaday she'eno inyan mishtane." It depends for whom. So if you're talking about the svardim themselves, so that's a different story. But the svardim themselves can read it that way, because when they read it that way, there is a consensus that that's the way it's supposed to be pronounced. In page 22, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And he says that the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions, and one of them is the Das HaLavush, even though he doesn't mention that it's the Lavush. מי שאינו יודע לחתיכס האוסיוס, כגון שאומר לאלפן עינן לעינן אלפן וכיוצא בזה, לא ייסוס קאפוב, שהרי משנה במשמוס לא שנה ברוכה. ועוד, אפילו אם תמצא לומר, הרי כוונוסם הגונו, בכל מקום האום מטמיעים בשום המסיכם דייתו. In other words, there are two problems by ברכס קיינם. One of them is that maybe it's not the right ברכס קיינם, and the other one is that when people listen to it, they have hesach hadas because they're hearing something funny which they're not used to. He's talking about the Beishonim in a place which is not Beishon. In Beishon, everybody spoke like that, so of course they were used to it, and that's the proper pronunciation. So he writes, that issue that we were talking about. שאפסולו מפני שמשתנה לא שנה ברוכה, וזהו דארת המרשל. ואין היתר אלו במקום שרובם ככולם קוראים כך, שאצלו משמוס הברוכה כך היא. Yeah. So the גרשז מכריע כדעס האחרונה. So what's he saying? What are the two days? What are the two days over here in the Shulchan Aruch Harav? He says the first day says that the chesaron is the etzem mashmos habrocha. The second day it says that the chesaron is that it's matmiya and it's going to esach hadas, so there's no proper kabbalah habrocha. Of course, you know that the various mumim and so on and so forth are dealt with in the same issue. You know that the kohanim are peculiar, and that will be masiyah das of the oilam. So he writes, what's the chiluk between the two? So he says, if it's goreim hesach hadas, it's only going to be in a place which the thing is totally odd to them. I'll give you a very simple analogy. Let's say that a Sfardi or an Israeli comes up to an Ashkenazi shul to duchen, and he pronounces in the Sfardi way the Birchas Kayanim. Nobody's going to pay the slightest attention to that and feel it to be strange, because everybody knows that Israelis pronounce it that way and Sfardim pronounce it that way. And, you know, it's very interesting. I've given for many years a shiur in the Ben Torah, so I'm often invited to these Sfardi weddings. So what they do is, there are Yotzim in Akla, but Bedera Klau, when they corral all the Rabbonim, all their Rabbonim, and they bring them up and they stand under the chuppah. They actually march down the aisle, before the Chosan Kala and like Shushbinim, and they stand there under the chuppah. And then, of course, when it comes to making the brachos, so the bracha akrita almost invariably goes to Chazan, and he sings it with the whole pitchifkis. It's a very melodious and very elaborate thing. But what about the other brachas? So if there's an Ashkenazi rub amongst them that they feel compelled to give a bracha, they give the bracha the first Yotzer Adam. It's the shortest one, and it's the least likely, they're not going to give the second Yotzer Adam because that's Sostasis, which has a whole nigan and so on and so forth. But it's very interesting. So Lamaisa, the mifta of the Sfardi in Birchas Koyanim is not going to bother anybody. So if the issue is Hesach Hadas, it's not a problem. So he says the same thing if Chayfonim are used to it within a certain place that's near Chayf or whatever, they're used to Chayfonim coming around. That would not be a problem, even though that's not the pronunciation of the local place. However, he says, if the psul is because Mishtana Loshana Brocha, so then he says the Eda is Koveya. So, of course, we'll get now to what Reb Moshe says, but the Eda is Koveya, he says, Reb Shnei Zalma Miladi. So he says, if the Eda is Koveya, so then the Eda has to speak that way. So if you have a person coming, even if they know what he's doing, but he's not being Mavarich the way he's supposed to. That's what he says. And he says that G'dayas Achrona, that he's Machriya. So Reb Moshe, because he says that in a particular Kehillah, wherever it is in Brooklyn, for example, so there really isn't any Nusach Kavua by virtue of the fact that everybody came from all over the place. So if that's the case, there is no such thing as being Mishana mi Nusach HaMokom. So then it wouldn't make any difference Bein L'tam Zeh, Bein L'tam Zeh. The time that you don't understand what he's doing and it sounds strange, nothing sounds strange in Bizman HaZeh. And the time that, especially in Kehillos that are Mu'urabas, and the time that, the bracha is not correct because the Eda does not speak that miftah. But the fact of the matter is that all the miftahs are kind of like acceptable now because all the Edas are merged together. So I think that he would say that in Kiryas Yoel also, Reb Moshe. I don't think he means, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he means a place where, you know, you have a young Israel, there's people from 50 different kehilas in Europe got together, and this one's from South America, and this one's from Eretz Yisrael, this one's from Turkey, and this one, they all live happily, you know, together in one kehila. I think it means everywhere. Bizman Hazeh, you know, you can daven anywhere, and you do daven everywhere, and the Mela, there is lav davka, one particular nusach, and one particular havara of pronunciation. And Benogeya the Turei Even, I'm not going to into it, but the Sri Deish also has a whole piece on that on page 23 that we mentioned to you earlier. In the Tshuvas of the Minchas Yitzchak, you see someone who has a very, very strong agenda not to be Mishanah the Nusach Ashkenaz under any circumstances, and he speaks very, very strongly about it. I just wanted to be Mesayim in conclusion. So the Tfilah Kilchosa brings first Reb Moshe's Tshuva, and he quotes in the footnotes a number of earlier Svarim that taina that you're not allowed to change your Nusach from one Nusach to another. And for example, the Maral in Tiferes Yisrael, Samach Vav, is very strong that you're not to be over from Avor Ashkenazis to Sfardis. And the Siddur of Yagrav Yankiv Emdin says that if you do that, it's Mishumotzi Laz Al HaRishonim. And the Minchas Yitzchak that you have over here, several tshuvas that he says the same thing, that you're not allowed to be Mishana Yer Havara. And they say also in the name of the Chazon Ish and of Rav Kook, that you can't be Mishana Me Havara La Havara, because it's both a din of Korav Lo Dikdek Vos Yosel, and because of Al Titosh Toiras Imecha, Shalavicha V'yageitcha. Yeah. The issue of pronunciation is specifically become an issue of what was the Chazon Ish's opinion in general, because Chacham Ovadia quotes the Chazon Ish, and he quotes the Oz Nidburu of Zilber, saying that not everything that people say in the name of the Chazon Ish necessarily came from the Chazon Ish, which a lot of other people say as well. But in that context, Chacham Ovadia, in the tshuva that you have in this piece, says that there is no question that if you look carefully, you'll see that the Chazon Ish's diuk and emphasis was in the pronunciation of the komatz as versus the patach and the shem Hashem. Mashma, he says, that all other issues are not a problem for the Chazon Ish. Of course, that's not the way the Chazon Ish is quoted in many svarim. It's just that when it comes to Shem Hashem, he made a bigger asek out of it because the other thing he couldn't stop. But he says, but at the very least, this is what you should do. But lav davka, that he's maskim to this. So hayotze midvareinu, it's very important to emphasize that the Sfardi pronunciation that you have in Eretz Yisrael today is not the Sfardi that's spoken about in many of the tshuvas which speak about the Nusach Sfardim of the Eidos HaMizrach, and that each Eida is entitled. So I just wanted to make the following observation. What happens if, you know, Lahavdil, there was a Jew, actually, who created an artificial language, which he was a universalist, you know, break down all the barriers, Esperanto. And this language of Esperanto is like an amalgamation of many European languages, and it actually has followers, believe it or not, here and there and everywhere. But Esperanto was supposed to be the language, like today they talk about a common, you know, the Euro. So they want now to make a global, the Chinese want to make a global, equivalent to the dollar. Like, why should the dollar be king, you know? But so he wanted to make a language that was universal. So my question is this. Let's assume that it's correct that the pronunciation of the Israeli today does not really have a makor. Period. there's no Eidah that it comes back to that you could say that over time it developed that the Eidah was speaking a certain way. And in fact, for that Eidah, that is the correct pronunciation. So there's a whole discussion, was there originally one pronunciation and everything else is a deviation? Or is each deviation a correct pronunciation for that Eidah? But this does not have an Eidah. It's an artificial construction, like Esperanto is. But now let's say everybody starts talking that way. So does that become the language of that Eidah? Or do we have to say that it is the equivalent of a new English, which sounds very much like Lashon Kodesh? But those people that make these very snide remarks, I don't speak Ivrit, I speak Lashon Kodesh, it's not just a sociological statement. It's really a halachic statement as well, according to them. What they're saying is that that is not Lashon Kodesh because the pronunciation, and certainly the words, I mean, it's full of English. You know, hi, bye, you know, there's no Shalom Aleichem anymore. So it doesn't matter whether you pronounce it Shalom Aleichem or Shalom Aleichem, but you don't pronounce shalom, you don't pronounce aleichem. You say hi and bye. Hi is hello and bye is goodbye. And that does not come from the chinuch or from the Rav Kook. It comes from American slang. And that's the way it is with a good deal of the language. And then, of course, a lot of words that are constructed because you can't speak the ancient Hebrew and live a modern life, and it's pushed like that. But bottom line is that this is all artificial. I'm not saying anything against it or for it, whatever my opinion is. But lemaisa, this is a halachic problem, a halachic dilemma. At what point does something which admittedly is an artificial construct, l'chol ha'deos, no one here said that this particular pronunciation comes from a certain Eidah. Everyone's masking it's Eleazar ben Yehuda u'kemosa. Everyone is masking. So, you know, he used to take one of his children, put him in a pit, and don't get out of the pit unless he spoke in Hebrew. And, you know, the Hebrew at that time was a very big agenda. There's a story of Rabbi Chaim Nachman Bialik and some Yiddishist, I don't know what his name was. So there was a certain point where Yiddish might have been the language of the Jews in Israel. So they had a big argument of which language was winning. So they went over to one of the kids and they said, we'll make an experiment. If I'll pull his ear, and if he says Mame, then the Yiddish is winning. And if he screams Ima, then Hebrew is winning. So they went over to the nearest kid and they pulled his ear. He says, Chamor, ma ata tzorem li ata ozen. So they knew everything. Anyhow, that's a famous anecdote that I heard when I was in fifth grade. But in any case, that's the story. So there's a very big chakira over here. Is there any point where, from Reb Moshe's perspective, for example, would you say that becomes the language of that particular kehila, which numbers millions of people, and therefore is the legitimate way of pronouncing things, at least for that kehila, which in the end is going to be Rav Minya Binyan of Klal Yisrael. So I have to tell you, it's very fascinating. You know, Mama Lashon in Yiddish, and there's a tremendous pull for Yiddish in the Hasidic circles in Eretz Yisrael. So I went I stayed in Eretz Yisrael to visit my children. So I went. We made a bris. So I stayed mamish right next to the Belzer Rebbe's home, right next to the shul. You know, he has his house right there. So the kids are all going to Belz. That whole shchuna is Belz, and they rent out rooms. So we took one of those rooms. So I wanted to get some food from the makolot. So I saw a bunch of kids playing in the courtyard. So I asked him, is there a makolot around here? So he says, yeah. He says, do me a favor, show me where it is. So he comes with me. So I ask him, I'm asking for paper plates. I want slochiot. So he's looking at me like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. So I said, what am I doing wrong? It's slochiot. That's what it is. Talachat slochiot. So he says, was is das? So papir in the teller, paper plates. Oh, over here. Pasha did not know the Hebrew equivalent. That's how much Yiddish. And in certain circles here, Lahavdil, I guess, in America, but there are certain kehilas amongst the Hasidim only, where they speak Yiddish much, much better than English, and amongst themselves, when no one's looking, they will speak only Yiddish. Because that's the only way a language survives. It's the language that the children speak in the street. But Me'idach Gisa, we have Kroivim, who are great-great-grandchildren of the Birka Shmuel, and do not know literally one word of Yiddish. They will live in Bnei Brak and went to Panevish and on and on and on. They mamish don't know any Yiddish at all. Very, very Haredi and very, very involved in Talmud Torah, never went to a secular school in their lives, but the whole language is Ivrit. Ivrit, Ivrit, Ivrit. So I'm saying in that kind of context, the question is, does that become the Havara of that Eda which lives in Bnei Brak, you know, Yachol or Chevro? They don't speak any Yiddish, they don't know Yiddish. So are they involved now in a new pronunciation? Now, of course, you know very well that there are some kehilos where when they daven, they pronounce it Ashkenazis, whereas when they speak in the street, they speak like any other Israeli, and conduct their business and so on and so forth, and speak to each other. So it's very interesting. It's almost like English for us becomes the Israeli pronunciation for them of the same Hebrew that they daven in shul, where they pronounce the Orlean the way we do. So that's a tipa min hayam, but if you go through this material, it's really fascinating. If I ever have a chance, I'll go back to talk about Nusa
another time.